Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. You're listening to a previously recorded show, Foundations of Estate Planning. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We're into a series about foundations of financial planning, then took a little bit of a break. You've been actually traveling quite a bit.
Yeah. I went back to Indonesia for several weeks, had to go to a conference, and then unfortunately, someone was very generous on one of the plane rides with me, and I picked up something.
Wrong kind of generosity.
Yeah, well, exactly. Not the generosity I wanted. So we threw a couple shows as a repeat in the middle of all this, but we're going to start picking up where we were with the foundations discussion.
Foundations and foundation of good financial planning, too, is how to take care of your spouse.
Yeah.
So why don't you review, though, a little bit where we've been?
Yeah, so the foundations, what we're talking about is if you were to come into the office, what could you expect for us to talk about? What are the foundational questions? And really more than just the foundational questions, but why am I asking that question? So we're trying on this foundations series to get a little bit deeper into what specific things I'm going to be asking, why, so that a potential client can really understand. And not only that, but if you already have done estate planning, maybe you can gauge the experience you've gone through balanced off of what I'm talking about here. And so it's always a good time to get your estate plan reviewed, make sure it's going to work and operate exactly as you expect. And this foundations series can really help with that. So you can always go back to legacyandfaith.com. The entire series is, you can find past podcasts and show radio shows there. The entire series is there at legacyandfaith.com. So today, where we've been the past couple shows before we had our break was I talked about what does it mean for IRAs to be in your estate plan. How do IRAs work within the estate plan? And how does it work within a trust? And then the last one that we did in this series, we talked about the opportunity of a surviving spouse. So if you were married, if you're married and you die, the first one of you dies, what options exist for a surviving spouse to make legal and tax changes? Because the legal world and the tax world just keep rotating and it's always moving, which is one of the reasons why you need a really good relationship with an estate planner long term instead of just the mentality of, I did it. I did the estate plan. Well, that doesn't exactly work. That's why you need to have someone always looking over and having that relationship with an estate planner. So we want to take a moment and continue on this discussion with our foundations. There's a lot more to uncover with if you're married and the first of you passes away, what does it mean to properly set up your spouse? So I'm married. If I die, I really want to make sure that my wife is well taken care of. The kids can keep waiting, right? They got their own life. They can make their own money. But am I giving my wife the ability to assist my kids? Am I giving her the ability to have full access to everything? Or are there other issues going on that we need to talk about? Mm. So we want to pick up kind of where we left off, which is we talked about the ability of a surviving spouse to change the plan of the decedent. Mm. So what does it look like now that we are gone? But I want to make sure my spouse is the first priority and make sure everything is designed around my spouse and her needs.
Yeah, you never know how long the spouse might live past you.
Right.
Particularly, a lot of times there's a lot of difference in ages of people.
Sure.
Quite often a man will marry a woman who's younger than he is, quite a bit younger sometimes, and she may have a lot of life left.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, statistically, you either die within a couple of years of each other or a surviving spouse lives for 20 years or more.
Yeah.
And I kid people that no one ever dies in between. So you got to choose one of them when you come in and work with me. So do you want the short version or the long version?
Right.
But what that indicates is that if you're in your 80s, if you have a much longer life and you've been married that entire time, when one of you dies, statistics say that the surviving spouse will actually die within a couple of years. I've seen this multiple times, sure, actually in my practice, mm-hmm, where one spouse passes away and then literally 6 to 9 months later, the second spouse is passing away.
Or gets married within 6 to 9 months.
Okay, well, that's
married again.
That's a different story. So I told you, somebody shared their generosity with me on an airplane. So if you make me laugh, I start coughing.
I'm sorry.
So that's right. No laughing. But if you were to die earlier than expected, if you pass away in your 60s or early 70s, now the surviving spouse, well, now we're into a 15-20 year run that somebody could live. And what does it mean to ensure the safety of specifically someone who is going to have a much longer life? Well, actually, even if you were older, what if you're the caretaker of someone and they're struggling already? Mm. What does it look like to make sure that they're well cared for if you're the first to pass? Unfortunately, I've seen that too, where the caretaker of the other spouse is the first to die because they've taken all the responsibility of the household. Mm. They have to do all the finances, all the cooking, the cleaning, the running of the household. And in most marriages, those are shared duties. Well, if someone is having health issues, unable to participate in how we've ran a household now for 50 or more years usually, then that burden falls to one person, and now they get worn down much faster. So does the estate plan accommodate for all of these different scenarios? And the answer is a good estate plan should,
right,
but most don't that I review.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we need to look at all these in-depth questions to make sure that we're answering them properly so that indeed we can come to the right conclusion and take care of a spouse as we desire.
Mm.
So that's kind of where we're going to start today. So let's talk about what type of specific instructions can you leave? Well, we've already covered a few of these just in kind of the review and introduction, which is what can be done. Well, really almost anything. You can really care for a surviving spouse in a manner that you see fit. And here's an issue as well, which is what if this is your second marriage? What if this is a blended family and your desire is to ensure the financial safety of a surviving spouse, but yet also you have a strong desire to ensure that your children are going to receive something? So there's a lot of different variables when I sit down with clients. I don't know your story yet.
Mm.
So if you have had one marriage for 50, 60 plus years, well, that's one scenario. If you're in a blended family situation, that's a whole different scenario. You have his and her kids. What if one spouse doesn't have kids and the other one does? Were those kids ever adopted? So there's a multitude of different scenarios that when we sit down, we need to uncover. And that's really the first goal of anyone who is to walk into the office, which is, well, tell me your story. I got to understand your story. I got to understand, what do you value? What are your passions? What is your heart's desire? Are you on the same page with giving to the kids? Are you on the same page with giving to different households if you're in a blended family? Are you on the same page with giving to missionaries or charitable work back to your church, whatever your passion is in life? So are we on the same page, or do we have differences of opinions? So the nice thing is that specifically in a community property state, we can actually create a really good plan even if you're not on the same page. So if I have some charitable desires and I want my money to go one direction, my wife has other charitable desires that she wants to go in a different direction, we can ensure that both of those take place. If I have a strong desire to make sure things get to our girls, so we have two girls, my wife may not have as strong of a feeling of that. Fine, we can accommodate that to ensure that my desires and her desires are both taken care of inside of an estate plan. But until I know your story, until I know what you desire to accomplish, Well, it's really, really difficult for me to then make that expression in the document. Mm. The document is only as good as the information and the expression that I've been given from the clients.
So if these two people, then this married couple, come into you and set this up, but let's say they you want some ironclad things, like you say, your girls. No matter what befalls you, honey, we're still going to give X amount to my girls. You can lock that in a trust.
Absolutely.
But you can also make it totally changeable, revocable, as you say, is one of your terms. Let's say, again, she lives 20 years longer than you.
Right.
She may need that money, and there might not be any money left over for a lot of giving.
Accurate.
So that can be part of the plan as well.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to the last time that we were talking about this, which is I can set up something that is far more detailed and lock, like you said, ironclad, or will express my desires without much flexibility given to a surviving spouse. Mm. Or I can just really go, okay, I want to make sure that if I were to die now and you live for 20 years, you see what the girls need. You see the grandkids. You see them all go through their journey of life. Mm. You see whether they're succeeding or whether they're having financial struggles, whether they're having marriage problems. There's a myriad of different things that one spouse will watch and see over the family. Mm. And maybe our desires are not so strong that we would say, it's okay, you can have full control of everything. Just make sure that the family is set up whenever it's your time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And how that looks can be very different than your plan. It can be very different than the other person who walks into the office with their plan and their family. Again, I'm in a first marriage, so therefore my wife and I, after 30 plus years of marriage, have a lot of commonalities. We have common children. In some ways, because of how we have ran our relationship, we're in a lot of sync with each other.
Mm.
That's not always the case. And specifically in blended families, that is not the case. So blended families are really one of the more difficult planning trusts that I do. And so if you're in a blended family scenario, you really need to get really good estate planning done. There are a lot of pitfalls if you were to die without a strong plan. And I've seen it, and it's very unfortunate. Usually the kids are the ones who are coming to say, Dad would have never wanted that, but now my stepmom is doing blank. Okay, well, there wasn't a solid plan in the background.
Mm.
So a lot of opportunity to help each other, make sure the family is taken care of, whether you see eye to eye or whether you have those differences. But I gotta hear your story first.
Mm.
I gotta really uncover what your passions are and how you want to envision your plan working for the family.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant in estate planning, Foundations of Good Estate Planning, the subject this week. Need to take a quick break here, but remind people how they can get in touch with you, Paul.
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. You're listening to a previously recorded show, Foundations of Estate Planning. I hope you enjoy it.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and on the Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at foundations of good estate planning, how to plan for that spouse who's going to perhaps stay on this earth a little longer than you are. Can you direct how the trust takes care of that surviving spouse?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of opportunity. Really a clear slate of how do we want to help each other. And not all spouses have done the same jobs throughout their marriage. As a matter of fact, in most marriages that I have talked to, one person is the individual who manages the finances.
Sure.
And it's not the most usual scenario where both spouses have made the investment decisions, have done the financial planning. Of course, many of them sit down with their financial planner together, but that relationship was typically really developed by one of the spouses, not by both of them mutually. And that's not to say that that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying that that's how many marriages operate. I have many spouses who walk in to say, if I leave this earth, this person, my surviving spouse, is in trouble. They know nothing about the finances. And I see, you know, men saying that about their wives, and I see wives saying that about their husbands. It's not a man or woman issue. It's just simply one person has a stronger skill set, more of a natural gifting or propensity
knows
to be
all
able
the passwords.
To take care. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like I said, it's not good, bad, or indifferent. It just simply is how most marriages are ran. As I've helped the generation that is behind the one generation behind, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, young families, there seems to be a little more cooperation in those marriages, just as a general rule for some reason. But when I get into clients that are retiring in their upper 50s, 60s, 70s, it tends to be one person has kind of taken control of the finances. So what happens if that person passes away? How do I set up my surviving spouse if they truly have never participated in the financial planning component? Well, number one, do you have a financial advisor in the background? That can be a very strong relationship and a very strong person to help in the transition. They may know what your financial plan included. How did you reach the conclusions of why you invested, Now, unfortunately, for financial advisors out there who may be listening, that surviving spouse is going to change the relationship within a two-year period if they were not the one who created the relationship to begin with. So if I have created the financial relationship and I die first, within 2 years, my surviving wife is probably going to find someone that she implicitly trusts or is able to have a good relationship with that the financial advisor who had been helping us for all these years may not be the same personality that she needs. So, but if she died, I would probably continue with the financial advisor that I had because I led the relationship. So number one, that financial advisor, specifically if it's an individual. Now, if it's a big institution, if you just use Vanguard and you don't have a specific person, you just use Schwab and you do all your own financial advising and you do your own self-medication, you probably do your own operations, everything else you probably just do on your own. You've probably all done your own estate planning, so good luck with that. So if you're the do-it-yourselfer, you're really leaving your spouse in a bad predicament because there is no one else to stand alongside him or her when you've managed the finances. So if I could give some practical advice to whoever that is out there right now who's listening to say, well, I do it all myself. I like researching. I'm good with money. That's actually a part of my past. Okay, great. Not a problem. But you're doing your spouse a disservice because you've managed everything and there's no relationship. If something happens to you, How do you have things set up? Mm. How and what relationship is going to stand next to your spouse? Mm. I'm not a financial advisor, and so I don't do investing. I know a lot of really good financial advisors out there. So I would help somebody get connected, but I don't do it myself. So you either need to have a strong relationship with your attorney who does your estate plan, who can ensure that your surviving spouse is going to be well taken care of, or introduce them to the proper relationships, or you need to start a relationship with a financial advisor.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you have to give up all power and control. It just means that there has to be some relationship there to ensure that when you're the one who dies first, because it seems to be the way it happens, that there is a smoother transition for your spouse. I mean, we talk about smooth transitions. That's why you need a good estate plan. But you need in order to have a smooth transition, you need the right relationships. Right. So if you come to my office and I just do a plan for you, you go to another attorney and they just give you paperwork, that is not going to equate to a smooth transition. The document itself does not create the smooth transition. The relationship makes the smooth transition. Your financial abilities does not make, or your portfolio doesn't make the smooth transition. The relationship in the background of that makes the smooth transition for your spouse. So relationships are the key component to smooth transitions, not the document, even though you need a good document, not the financial portfolio, even though you need one. So it's really about the relationships that you have and have developed together to ensure that your spouse is going to be well taken care of.
But what you do at Planning with Purpose is not financial planning.
Correct.
You do estate planning.
I do estate and tax planning.
Right.
That's exactly right. So I'm not going to tell you how to invest. I know too much about it, but no, that I'm not licensed for it. That is not my position. I am the attorney. I'm going to do the legal work and the tax work to ensure that the plan is going to be upheld.
Getting back to people maybe who don't have a huge estate, so they don't feel like they need a, quote, financial planner.
Yeah.
They need a trust. They need
yes.
a goodwill.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that regardless of how
yes,
much
sir.
Money you have.
That's
but
right.
maybe somebody who doesn't have a ton of money.
Yeah, that's right. You have a smaller IRA. You have a home. You have a little bit of savings. And that's really the sum of your financial life. But you have strong goals to say, I want to make sure this gets to my kids properly. Again, in blended marriages, you may want to make sure that things get to the family equally. So, yes, everyone needs a good financial plan. So I'm not belittling people who don't have that relationship. I'm just saying that that is one of the stronger components to ensure that your spouse is going to be well taken care of in the transition.
Mm.
Because then ultimately that relationship is going to change. They're going to lean into a person or two who they're going to trust. Sometimes it's our firm. Sometimes it's somebody else. So how do we set up then someone who has never had the financial experience? Well, would it be best if your surviving spouse who has not done the finances, would it be best if they had a monthly income stream? Okay, well, we can set that up in the estate plan to ensure that there is always money available. Is it appropriate for your surviving spouse to manage the money, or do you have an adult child that you would want to stand next to your spouse and your spouse would be amenable to that, to say, yes, I would want my child to stand next to me and assist me with the financial attributes because I've never learned it. And when you're in your 70s or 80s and you've never learned a skill set, that's fine. I haven't learned a lot of skill sets in my lifetime. I have no idea how to build a bridge. But nobody, you know, points a finger at me because I'm not an engineer or architect or anything else. So I need to go get appropriate assistance for the task that's in front of me. And sometimes that means finances. So do we have an adult child who's willing and able and has the skill set to stand next to mom or dad when they have not ever really had that role in the marriage?
Mm.
This would also set up what happens if after the first spouse dies, the second spouse ends up having health issues and needs that assistance. Well, we got to develop that plan anyway. So is it appropriate to bring in the adult child to stand next to mom or dad sooner than later? In other words, do they need some of the guidance? Do they need encouragement for the financial advisor relationship? Do they need someone else to just say, here, Mom, I'm going to take care of the finances. Here, Dad, I'm going to make sure you have enough money in your checking account, and I'll take care of everything else because that's my skill set. So I'm going to step in the shoes of the spouse that is now missing. Oftentimes that has to happen anyway as we continue to get older. The question is, when is it appropriate in the relationship to have that child come in and really assist? Those are things that we need to uncover. We need to understand the confidence level of each spouse in the marriage to deal with finances so that we can set up a plan that ensures the financial safety net of the surviving spouse as you envision and as they need.
Foundations of Estate Planning, specifically how to take care of that surviving spouse this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. People are intrigued by your approach to this subject. How do they find out more?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. All of this series can be found there, as well as upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.